we're in a series, and it's called, you know, receiving issues slash the way we receive, okay? The way we receive. Why does this series exist? It exists because I never even knew that it was a problem. That's how it exists, literally. You're like, great, Chris. I thought you'd studied this. You found it in the Greek and the Hebrew. I did not. I found it in our church. I found that people struggle to receive. Like, it sounds like such a... Do you ever, like, get some God concepts that you're like, that what are you going to preach on with that? Because it's just, like, easy. You know, someone wants to give you something. Like, we all love free stuff. You know what I mean? Like, who's like, hey, can I give you a Ferrari? Look. Don't overburden me with generosity. Like, we don't do that. But for some reason, we actually do. It would seem like we would be okay with free, but we're not. Receiving should be as easy as open hands, open heart, open mind. But the reality is, it's not. We often think it comes with strings attached. We get a little bit like, why are you being nice to me? It's so hard to be nice today. Like, you do something nice, you're like, why'd you open the door for me? There's a chivalrous me that exists. So on the blue line, part germaphobe, part chivalry, I don't sit down, right? Because I always know there's going to be a woman that needs a seat. And if she happens to be a young woman, now it looks like, you know, like I'm trying to like, hey, take my seat. It's like, take. You know? So now I'm like, I don't want to have to do all that. So I'm just going to stand because I'm not taking seats, okay? Plus, germaphobe in me affirms this action of chivalry. The germaphobe goes, Chris, do you know what you will leave with if you sit on one of those seats? I'm like, no, but I'm not going to find out. So, fun fact, there you go. We have an issue with the way we receive. And I want to speak on a subject that might hit a little deep for some people in this place. I want to speak to you about the problem with the love you've already received. The problem with the love you've already received. Before I get into this, I really want to know who I'm speaking to. By a show of hands, who here is a hugger? When you welcome someone, you hug. Okay, cool. Let me take mental note. Don't want to see you in the foyer. Who of you are non-huggers? The rest of you. Okay, duh, get it? All right. So, actually, I've become a hugger over the years, but I've got to tell you that Chris Carmona view, like, that was not me. I didn't enjoy the awkward hugging. You know why? I had one bad moment when I first got to youth ministry, right? And one week, this girl hugged me. The next week, I go for a hug, and she went like this. I was like, what? You just turned this into the Matrix. What? And then on top of that, in church, you don't know the standard. So sometimes, you go for a hug, but someone goes for the kiss. Next thing you know, they're kissing your ear. And the worst ultimate church, like, moment is if you both go to hug at the same side. Like, just run off. And I was the new guy in church. You don't want to be the new guy in church that's had three fails, right? He tried to hug me. He kissed me in the cheek. He kissed me in the mouth. Off the connections team for sure. No longer on the front door. Funny because relationship stuff is just what it is, and I started to find, and I would say that there's a huge problem with this one statement in the Bible that if we can't reconcile it and really think about it, we're going to have issues. Because the truth is this, you and I, we've experienced love, whether from our parents, from our first relationships, and the thing is this becomes our tone for love. Like, you would think that's crazy, right? But I honestly sit across from people and they go, the only way I experienced love was in this broken manner, so that's the way I feel loved. It's crazy, but kind of makes sense. Because where do we learn love from? You learn it from the people around you. That's all you know. And if you've had to work for that love, if you've had to show up for that love, if you've had to show off for that love, if you've had to compromise for that love, if you had to fight for that love, this next verse is going to be a huge problem and issue for your advancement in what God wants you to be. Let's just go over to it. Perfect love. It says this. Nope, not John 3:16, but I love that one. We'll use it. There is no fear in love, but perfect love drives out fear. Because fear has to do with punishment. The one who fears is not made perfect in love. Okay, bit of an issue. This tells us that there is an absolute standard of love. Which means that the love you've experienced may not measure up to the love that God wants to give. And the problem is that if the love you've experienced doesn't look like the love that God wants to give, let me tell you that it won't look like love. You won't label love if it looks different to the love you've given, the love you've been receiving, right? And here we've got a God that says perfect love drives out all fear. Meaning every single thing that taunts you, every bit of insecurity, every bit of you that just has angst in it, actual love drives it out. Why is this another problem? We're going to go on a journey here. Well, it's a problem because the Bible often tells us that we should rest assured because he loves us so much. Okay, cool. But like there's a giant in front of me. You know what I mean? The waters look like they're going to crash. There's an army chasing me. And could you imagine? Could you imagine? It just kind of sounds like something my mom would do. Like I could tell my mom, Ma, it's crazy at school. And she's like, I love you. Cool. But I'm not going to show up. To the guys at school that want to fight me and be like, they're like, hey, you want to go? And I'll be like, you know what? My mom loves me. What are you going to do about it? You know, like, what does that do? And sometimes I feel like, God, awesome. I love that you want to hug me right now, but we got to fight. You know what I mean? Like, we got a doctor's report and you're like, love you, son. Oh, that's Chris. He's on the earth. Love him. Okay? But let's calm down on the fields, you hugger. And it's like, can you kill a giant, please, for me? Love you. Maybe I'll speak to him in Spanish. You know, like, what is this? And I've never been able to reconcile, why do you keep saying you love me as an antidote, an answer to my fears? Why do you keep saying you love me to the answer and antidote to the doctor's report? And there's a problem brewing here. And I could best explain it this way. Has anybody ever wrongly, or not even just wrongly accused you, but misinterpreted you? All the time with this accent. Can I have water? Sorry, sir, we don't have that. It's not until I say water. Oh my gosh, so embarrassing. I've got to exercise forgiveness every single day. I kid you not, 3 times a day, someone looks at me like this. Have you ever been misinterpreted? Isn't it this kind of wounding, yet angry, yet frustrating, just feeling? And often the thing that people say when misinterpreted is, you just don't know me then. Which sounds like a pretty intense like statement back, right? Just because I misinterpreted you, now we don't even know each other. If you think I'm the kind of person that would do that, oh, wow, just thought, okay, yeah, sorry. It just hurts. There's a problem here that relates to what God keeps saying when we have our biggest issues and he goes, hey, don't worry, I love you. He's speaking from a context of being, not just showing, being perfect love. And real love, we're going to discover tonight, does some things. And because of the byproduct of real love, he doesn't feel the need to tell you, hey, yeah, I'm going to provide for you. I'm going to be there for you. I'm going to make sure you get married before you die. Because some people in this room are like, I don't even know. Like, you know what I mean? Right? Like, I'm going to make sure that you get the healing. I'm going to make sure that there is a breakthrough to your season. I'm going to make sure that you're not going to live the product of the word spoken over you. I'm going to make sure that every single dream I've spoken in your life is going to take pass. I'm going to make sure that I will heal and separate you from your past. I'm going to make sure. And we're like, we just want those words. But he's like, I got one word that covers it all. I love you. Because my love is not empty. God's love, you got to know this. God's love isn't there at night and gone in the morning. You know what I'm saying? God's love isn't there when he first meets you, but when the romantic period wears off and now you really know each other and now you're like, wait, you don't even like Star Wars? Like, God's love's still there. Like, his love's still there. God's love also doesn't require your love to be activated. Human love, until you have children, needs the catalyst of reciprocal love. It is activated when love is given. But God's love existed before you knew how to love. Why do we then see the only framework on earth exists of godly love when you're a parent? Because your kid, when you give birth, doesn't even know you exist, really. Has a sense of you, is dependent, but you love something that has done nothing for it. So you got to understand, throughout life, you're going to keep seeing what happens in heaven is expressed on earth in such a way that we might have breadcrumbs back to the Savior. So we've got this issue brewing, I think we could see. I feel like I'm at a court of law and I'm presenting a case here, because I feel like it has to be done so. I think we've got to realize that you've got this God that keeps answering one word. And you know what? In my seasons of life, I've been really, really frustrated because I'm a bit active, like to get things done, like to win, love it. I don't see any idea in playing a game to lose. If you're on my team and you say it's not about whether you win or lose, you lost me, it's not about. You know what I mean? Like, why keep score then? Like, it's just a fun little, just brings encouragement. I once played sport with a guy and he's like, man, let's just, guys, come in, group chat. I was like, he's like, bro, we're already winning by 5. Let's just pull back. Pull back, press in, we've got them, you know. Yes, I don't know either why I'm a pastor. So I go to God often. God, we got to save the city. God, we got to change the world. God. And God, where are you? God. And the first thing he says to me, I'm like, God, tell me, obviously, if it's not growing, it's got to be me. What do I have to change? And God's like, I love you. Again with the amor, all right? All right, I get it. You love me, I'm great. But what could I do better? I love you. He's probably looking at all the angels in heaven going, it's so cute, I love you. Watch this. Love you. I'm on earth. I once read the story of Jonah and I couldn't stop laughing. You know why? I'm Jonah. I'm the tantrum, like just one day, just living life, next day God's like, go this way, I want to die. Never going to do it. And God's going to leave. Going, all right. We've got to keep him alive. Unfortunately, we need him. And the angel's like, we don't need, oh, you're right. I just love him. I love the guy. Meanwhile, I'm like, I love you. I love you to God is not a feeling. I love you to God is character. I love you to God is nature. I love you to God is who he is and why you even exist. To think about it this way, do you know that in Genesis, when people of old would read the book of Genesis, you know the number one thing that just blew their mind was at the beginning, where God created a God, in their mind, a God had created a human race, or just people, for nothing but relationship. We differ in that one area than any other faith, because our God created us to interact with us. Which means, in the Trinity, they had something so good that real love is always something that is wanting to share. So he's like, this is so good. We should create people so they could feel this. You and your existence, as far as God's concerned, is primarily about finding him. That you might find and exist and live and experience exactly what he wanted you to get. Why is this so important, Chris? Love, come on, teach us what to do. It's important because the answer to every single one of your issues is going to be the same answer that he gave me. I love you. But my bank account's empty. I love you. But why are you stopping me from progressing? Because I love you. Why aren't I getting my prayers? I love you. He's trying to teach us that maybe love, I gotta say this too. Quickly point out the lack in all your relationships, and you'll quickly find out the way you look for love. You look, if you have a string of guys that don't treat you right, that's how you look for love. You know how many girls are like, I just need a guy that treats me a little bit bad. Every guy that's around her at that time that has a crush, idiot, hate you. Like, no, you got to really mean it. Like, there's people. There's guys that will only be with a girl that has eyes for everybody else in the room. There's people in this world that are okay with being in a relationship even though it's only about the money they bring. I'm telling you that what we look for is birthed out of the way we've received it in the past. I've got friends in my life that somehow have a knack for going to the next church that's about to crumble. And it's weird because I look at it, I go, I could pick it from a distance. I'm like, that's not a, what, hi, people, right? Yeah, wait, the seats, man, we've got the balcony. Like, you know, like, we really just love this place. Bam, bam. Three or four times in a row. Why? Because they think good ministry is when you go to church and they're like, worm, heathen. Come on, you're not worshiping hard enough. That's what they think. So they think good church is church that hits them instead of a God that reaches them. If you can't be interested with a man that treats you right, you got some problems that you need to search in yourself first, because you need a man that will treat you right. You know what I'm saying? Man, Chris, this is a little bit deeper than I was expecting for the Sunday night. But this is, honestly, when God said, speak to them about receiving issues, tonight he's like, Chris, I'm just trying to get my love to them. I'm just trying to get my love to them, but they can't even get it just yet. I'm just trying to get my love to them, but they can't even receive it just yet. I'm just trying to get my love to them, but they don't even look for it. They're looking at, you know, looking for love in all the wrong places. No fine girls, just, no one's old enough. Awesome. Okay, all right. Some of you knew it, but you're like, nah, that sounds too old. I'm not going to join in. Thank you. Guys, we need to understand that God in this verse tells us that there is a standard of love and it is Him and it is perfect. And therefore, anything short of that is not what we should be searching for. Which, if you just want to go, man, why should I date a Christian? You should not just date a Christian by title or a guy called Christian. You should date someone. It gets like that in church. It gets like that in church. I'm 37. I'll just take a guy called Christian. At 37. You don't even, being a pastor, you get people come up to you, man, honestly, she's the one for me. Why? Man, I don't know, but like her name's Mary. I just walk away at that point. Just. I'm saying it, and then well, I have had crazy things like that. But we stretch it. We get out of, like, just we get insane. Because we don't have this measure of perfect love. And I'll tell you this, when someone grows up with a healthy measure of love, they're quick to find and point out the counterfeit. And I don't come from that. Oh, my parents loved me. But we all got saved at a later time. So it was a broken, just crazy kind of home. And when it was actually out looking for a life that God called me to have, I struggled to receive what God wanted to do because love to me was an emotion. And that made it dangerous in the marriage arena because I felt like love is something that may drop at any moment. Because I thought love was butterflies. Love was like, no, love is more than that. And so here's what we got to understand. Last thing before we get into the last few verses is this. God then is not just a picture of love. He is love. Meaning, he is love personified. That if you met him, he would embody all things love. He'd be on like GQ magazine for the month of love. Like he'd be like, they're like, just his love. We just, this guy, we love his suit, we love his hair, we love his disciples, we love his miracles, okay? We're just about it. He is love, okay? Now, let's read something that doesn't sound like love to us. You ready? Let's go to Hebrews. Because the Lord disciplines the one he loves and chastens everyone he accepts as his son. Everyone's like, that's not what, that, I don't, what? This is what the Bible's telling us. Because God loves us, he'll tell us no. Because God loves us, you know that discipline isn't just, I know we look at it in a world of broken thoughts, that discipline is a reprimand of a bad action. But you know that discipline is also a way of living. Like I'm into the yoga discipline. You know, like we used to live in an apartment where this guy went to a yoga rave. Those two words don't go together for me. Yoga and rave. Like, what are you doing? Like everyone's like, unz, unz. You know, what, how? How do you do? I just don't know. But it was a yoga rave, okay? That was his discipline. Sometimes you see a grown man walk out the street, look like Ryu from Street Fighter, fully into MMA. Awesome. That's his discipline. First rule about being a vegan is tell everybody about being a vegan. That's their discipline. Discipline is when there has been structure created around your life to make a product that looks a certain way by a certain way of living. So when God loves you, he often starts to close some doors some places and start to limit some things and teach some things because he wants you to start to adapt a new way of living so that you might actually get a new way of living. So if you could live a little bit different, discipline a little bit different, act a little bit different, God might get a little bit different. And because he loves you, he says no. Because he loves you, he says not yet. Because he loves you, he blocks your results. Because he loves you, he says not that promotion. Because he loves you, he says, no, 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 not that guy. Because he loves you, guys don't give you attention. Because he loves you, he stops you. Because he loves you, he puts people in your world. Because he loves you, he frustrates you. Because he loves you, he comes up and he puts some adversity. Because he loves you, he starts to train you. He is disciplining you, creating a way of life that the Bible says brings character. And all the way, we're like teenagers going, gosh, Dad. Oh. Everyone else has a phone. Except we're not like everyone else had the phone. We're like, everyone else is getting promoted. Everyone else is getting married. Everybody else is having children. Everybody else is getting to lead worship. Everybody else is preaching. Everybody else's church is growing. And God's like, yeah, cool. Okay, come on. Come on. Leaf, come on. All right. All right, you just don't get it yet. It's not second nature yet. We've got to discipline because this is what discipline provides. Discipline brings a result. You got to understand, I have so much respect for anybody that's like a bodybuilder. Not my life. I don't want legs like that. These are enough. It took me like 5 years after quitting soccer that I could actually fit into jeans. Man, like, your discipline, it brings something. And we think God just wants to give stuff. And so we sit here and we're like, you didn't answer that prayer. You didn't answer that prayer. No, no, no. God is more in the business of creating lifestyle than creating enabling. He doesn't want you to have a relationship that's just a give, give, give. He wants to give you what matters. And any good parent and any good loving relationship will set you up for a win, not hand one to you. People think that I don't let my kids win anything because I'm competitive. I don't want them to win anything because I want the day that they do to mean something. So when we play soccer, I play. I do. When we play on anything, I play. But I'll tell you what it does. When they finally beat me, it's a moment. And I love that they hold it over my head. Like I was demolishing, it felt kind of good. Cruz at Street Fighter, I'm like, bam, bam, bam. I'm like, and then he's like, he got so frustrated, he went and practiced. And then he's like, Dad, you want to play? I was like, sure. I feel like winning. Next thing you know, I'm demolished. He's like, brrr. I was like, always. He'll come by. It could be unrelated. Like, I could be getting dressed. He'll walk by. Dad, remember I beat you? God the Father wants to build something in you that you value so much because you had to journey to it for so long that you might be walking past a God moment and go, God, remember that? I did it. It happened. You loved me enough that you believed I'd get there. He loves you enough to hold you back. He loves you enough to invest into your future. See, God's not transactional because there's very little buy-in in a transaction. No, God's in it for the long haul. See, anybody can give birth or make a child, but it takes commitment, love, and investment to raise it. You're not a good mum or dad because of the biology of it. You're a good mum and dad because every day you wake up and you make a choice. You're raising a life. You're raising history. You're raising breakthrough. You're raising a God move. You're raising. And before God gives you children, he wants you to know how to self-lead. So right now, you got to understand the first child that God wants to give you is the one called your heart. And he's like, I don't know if I can't give them more yet because they don't know how to look after their own heart. They don't know how to raise their own heart. They don't know how to develop their own heart. See, the same thing would be said of children as the same said of your heart. You're looking after a movement. You're looking after history. You're raising breakthrough. You're taking care of faith. When you know love as someone that cares enough to say no, you don't trust everybody that just keeps saying yes. Stop looking at your season and thinking it's a curse. Because God would look down at you in all those times that you've prayed and gone, is this a curse, God? Why is this? And he would just say, I love you. Because love means, if you know he loves you, love means he's got you. Love means he's provider. Love means it's enough. It's like the one word that means everything. In God's language, there's only one word that is important, and he built the whole law on it. There is one thing that if you do, all things, everything in the Bible is summarized in one, love. Is that because God's a big sap? Like, if I have to keep one, I cannot do without some good love, okay? Just love it. No. He's like, you know why? Because love is, everything is hinged on it. Let me read the last verse for you, John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe stands condemned already, because they have not believed in the name of God's one and only Son. God loved us that much that he was able and willing to walk through separation. And you go, well, you know, man, that's bad, but he's God. But you got to understand this. There was only a context of perfect love there. Love in everything you've ever wanted it to be was there. Let's put this in context, the day where Jesus was on the cross, because I don't think we fully understand it, but I believe that we've had moments that would really help us relate. And I think one of the greatest moments that we could relate to how Jesus felt on the cross is this: losing someone you love or having a like full-on breakup. The breakup, a glimpse, losing someone you love, a better picture. It's funny how all of a sudden separation causes such pain that you find it hard to breathe. Loss brings so much pain that food is not even something. The world loses meaning. What you have is nothing without the one you just lost. And that's our love. Broken, shattered, a little bit distorted. And we look at the moment where Jesus hung on a cross and we're like, oh, I mean, it's just Jesus. He was going to see him again. Well, here's the thing. I'm going to see the people I lost as well in heaven. But I still hurt. That doesn't change it. And God was willing to suffer heartbreak from the one that is his only because he needed to be joined back to you. That's why he did it. He was like, life without them is not worth life with you right now. And Jesus loves you that equally that he's like, in the garden, if there's any other way, God, Father, if there's any other way, take this cup from me. But nevertheless, your will be done. Meaning this, God, I know, man, just this hurts so much. This hurts so much. Think of your greatest heartbreak and go there for a second. It hurts so much. And God's saying, there's no other way, son. He's like, God, if there's no other way, you know I'll do it. We need them back with us. The whole earth, the Bible tells us in Revelation, the earth is, heavens have been looking down, waiting for the moment of this beautiful thing called reconciliation. You know that you need this. You know why? Because you've been in your heartache. You've been in your depression. You've been in your anxiety. You've been in your room crying and just saying, God, oh, when will you give my family back? Oh, when will I grow up in a perfect picture of love? Oh, when will I actually find purpose? Oh, when will I feel again? Oh, when? And you got to understand that He's a perfect Savior because He was willing to feel what you felt just to make sure that you'd never feel it again. That's why He did it. Because He loves. Because He is love. The answer to every relationship, to every problem, to every issue, to every moment you go through, it doesn't seem reasonable, but I hope in some way I've been able to explain it, that His answer is going to be, I love you. Because as long as you know that, you don't have a question to ask Him. You know He's going to do it. For all of you that are waiting for your miracle, He's going to do it. For all of you that feel like tomorrow you wake up, the pain is so deep that you can't bear it, He's going to do it. If you will lean on Him, He's going to do it.